Hello, friends, and welcome back to 1 John, chapter 2 today, as we continue our question, how do I know that I know God? How can I be sure? Ever been in a friendship or romance where you're just not sure where you stand? It kind of ruins everything. John wants us to be sure with God, so we can walk in real fellowship and full joy. John reminded us, God is light. So step into the light, confess your sins, and let him purify you. And now in chapter 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. So the goal is not sinning, but the first step to get there is to confess that you do sin. You won't stop what you don't confess. And back in verse 1, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. I love this picture. When you stand before God's judgment throne, you have an advocate. That's amazing. An advocate is for you, helps you through. I recently helped someone through some legal issues as a victim, and the DA's office provided a victim's advocate. That advocate was amazing. So great to have someone who knows the system on our side. Believer, at God's judgment, even when you're the guilty one, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Your lawyer is good. He does right. He stands in God's court blameless, and he represents you. Now that's encouraging. But hold on. You stand guilty. What good is a righteous lawyer when you're guilty of sin? Justice is still coming. Remember back in chapter 1. God is faithful and just to forgive. But how can forgiveness be justice? Verse 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Pause there. This is big. Atoning sacrifice. Atonement is, well, do you know what a broken relationship feels like? You love them, you sit with them, but the space between you is like high voltage barbed wire, and you wish you could make it right. That was your relationship with God because of your sin. And atonement is what made it right. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That means it cost him, cost his life. That's why forgiveness is justice. Jesus paid your fine in full. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So this is how we know. When God says do you do it? When he says don't, do you stop? Remember that the Gnostics tried to separate the spiritual from the physical. For them, knowing God was all about your mind and soul. For some, it was logic and reason. For others, it was feeling and emotion. But in their teaching, knowing God had nothing to do with morals or deeds. In their view, what you do doesn't matter. John says, knowing God definitely affects what you do. Verse 4, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. God doesn't want hypocrites. He wants doers, not doing to earn forgiveness. You can't. But obeying because you are forgiven. Sin was the thing that separated you from God in the first place. Why would you go right back to it? Verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. If someone told you, I'm in school, and you say, what do you study? Oh, no, I don't study or go to class or learn anything, but I have this student ID and I get great discounts. But that's not how it works. When you're in school, you learn. And if you're in Christ, you obey his commands. And back in verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So how about you? What is your attitude towards God's commands? Imagine you got an envelope from God to you. Subject, a command. How do you feel about it? Don't open it, just answer. What's your attitude about a command just knowing it's from him. Do you trust him? So what command are we talking about? Verse 7 tells us that it's an old command, one which you have had since the beginning. But then verse 8 says that it is a new command. So what is it? Verse 10, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Should have known by the name on the envelope, God's command is always love. The Old Testament law was instruction on how to love in that culture. Then Jesus showed us a love that's new and revolutionary. To love like Jesus is to walk in light. But in verse 11, hate is like darkness. Anyone who hates walks in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So, what's love got to do with it? Good question, Tina. The answer, everything. Because without love, all our claims are nothing. We're not obeying, and we don't know him. Now at verse 12, John takes the middle of the chapter to step back a moment to consider us, his audience, and share his heart for each stage of our walk with God. Children, young men, and fathers. And women, this is for you too. At the heart of it, John wants us to know that we know God at every stage. When you're brand new with God, and you just know your sins are forgiven, and you can call God your Father, and that's amazing. When you're young and strong and ready to take on the evil of this world and overcome. When you've matured a long ways in your faith, and you realize that all that ever really mattered was that you know him. Whatever stage you're at, John wants you to know. Then in verse 15, do not love. Wait, hold on. Did that say don't love? Yep, it's possible to love and still get it all wrong. The issue here is not who we love, but what. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Notice the directive is not to love anything. The issue here isn't liking or enjoying things. It's agape, the sacrificial love that Jesus taught us. That love is for people, not things. John says, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And he explains that misdirected love in three phrases. You'll see these same three concepts when Satan tempted Eve in the garden and Jesus in the desert. And it's Satan's game plan to defeat you as well. In verse 16, the lust of the flesh. Lust is a craving or desire for what you can't have. God says no, and you want it. Flesh craves it. Money, power, porn, whatever. And you set it over people. Agape for things. The lust of the eyes. The eyes are a window to your soul. Stare long enough at that thing, and the darkness gets in. And the pride of life. This happens when that idol you sacrifice to is yourself. It's me before you, me above God, if we're honest. God says no, and I think I know better. The pride of life. All that stuff is worldly. Verse 17, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. John reminds us that time is short, for us and for the world. He calls it the last hour. But he clarifies, he's not talking about the final end times and the Antichrist with a capital A. John says that lots of Antichrists are already here, little a, the ones he's been warning about this whole time. They claim to know God, claim to be sinless, claim to walk in the light. But they hate people, disobey God, and do dark deeds. Those are all anti-Christ. John says their mere existence reminds us that life's too short. In verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. This is key. Don't let the liars mess with your head when you know the truth. The liars deny Jesus with their actions and their words. Don't listen. Verse 24, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. John uses the word remain four times here. You know the gospel. You know truth. let it remain. If the truth remains in you, you remain in Jesus. Mom says stay in school. God says stay in Christ. Don't quit. Continue in Him. Will there be those on that day who stand before Jesus only to hear, "I never knew you"? Yes, there will. They are evil doers. But John reminds us in verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. The hypocrites are real, but so are the children of God, the ones who love and obey God and walk in light. And they will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.